we've been on this sort of journey for quite a while now, and we're going to approach engaging the realms of heaven in a systematic way from the beginning, so that we can all learn how to do this. You know, a lot of people think that engaging heaven is a mystical experience, where in one sense you can understand that because it's not the norm, but the reality is we can learn. And God wants to teach us how to be able to hear his voice, engage with him wherever he is, and where he is in us and around us. And so we're going to learn how to do that. And we're going to engage the realms of the Spirit, and that is in us, because God is in us and the kingdom's in us. It's also around us, in the unseen realm around us, and it's in the realms of heaven. And we're going to learn how to do that along two main pathways. First one is the pathway of relationship, which leads to an intimacy with God. That flows from the inside out, from heaven, through our spirit, soul, body gateways to the world around us. And Jesus manifested that while he was on earth, so that people could touch him and draw from him the life of God that was in him, which was connected to heaven. There's also the pathway of responsibility, which leads to kingdom rulership. And that's the pathway we're going to look at today. And that flows from the outside in. We go into the realms of heaven and to deeper levels of understanding and outworking kingdom protocol as living sacrifices. So we have to present ourselves to God to do that. So last week we looked at the journey map for the pathway of relationship. So it starts with the door of first love, which was in us, finding the garden of our heart, that intimate secret place with God within our heart. That is a doorway back into the garden of God, Eden in heaven, where we can engage in the river of life, tree of life, waterfalls, throne of grace, judgment seat, lots of places there which we're going to find how to engage with. So today, pathway of responsibility. Now, what does responsibility mean? And this is a dictionary definition. The state or fact of having a duty to deal with something or of having control over something or somebody. So you say a parent has responsibility for their children when they're little to help them and administer over them. Synonyms: authority, control, power, leadership, management, influence. So taking responsibility or having responsibility is to exercise administrative authority and power and leadership. And we're all called to that, various degrees. Another definition for responsibility: the state or fact of being accountable or to blame for something. Now, we don't like that one. And that actually stops a lot of people taking responsibility because they're fearful of the consequences. But there is no blame with God, but there is accountability. So he wants us to do things his way, and he wants us to be accountable for what we do. Words, other words for that: accountable, blame, fault, guilt, culpability. We don't like those last ones. But because we are in Christ and we are the righteousness of God, there is no guilt, fault, all that stuff with it. All that we are responsible for is outworking what God has called us to do according to our destiny in our life. We don't have to do anything outside of that. And we will be accountable one day. And one of the places we can go to is the judgment seat, where we can actually see how does what God destined me to do line up with what I've done. Now, all our sin, of course, is completely forgiven and wiped out because of the cross. But we have a life now in which, am I following as a disciple of Jesus the pathway that he set before me? So each day I get an opportunity of saying yes to that or no. And so we'll learn how to take responsibility in the heavens. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it, basically. So that was the responsibility that God gave us, to have ownership of this planet and to rule from his perspective, to bring God's goodness and grace and mercy and blessing into the whole planet and actually beyond the planet as well. And because Adam and Eve would have started in the garden that God planted for them, and then they would have taken that garden relationship to the rest of the world bit by bit, and then they would have gone to the rest of the created universe, spiritual, unseen and physical. And that is our responsibility. Romans 8, 16 says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. So there is this connection, this relationship that we have with God that gives us that testimony of what really is the truth, that we are children of God. All of us are children of God. And if we're children, we're also heirs. So our being heirs, Adam and Eve gave up authority over the world and the universe because of sin. They followed the wrong pathway. Jesus came back to restore that pathway. And now we're, it says, heirs of God and fellow or joint or co-heirs with Christ. So now all authority in heaven and earth is given to God, given to Jesus, and we are co-heirs with him. That is great responsibility, but also amazing power and authority that we get with Jesus to have authority over the whole of the created universe. But then it goes on to say, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. Now, suffering is not physical pain. Suffering is the willingness to surrender and choose to follow him above everything else. Romans 8:19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits. So the whole of creation is waiting for something. It's waiting for us. It's waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. So the whole creation, it says, groans because it's waiting for something to bring it out of its bondage. Verse 21 of Romans 8 says that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to the corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So what we do in bringing God's manifest glory, his presence, his kingdom, his rule, his government, is to free the whole of creation, physical and spiritual realms, which is an amazing responsibility that he shared with us because he loves us. You know, and I think sometimes we just don't realize how great that responsibility is, but that is what we've got to learn to take, the responsibility to rule in the heavens. So we can rule that physical created realm, the spiritual unseen realm. The question is, are we willing to take responsibility and be accountable as sons of God? And everyone has a choice because God's given us free will. He never forces anything on us. He gives us numerous opportunities to choose to follow the path that he set before us. And because we keep following our own path, we keep messing it up. But he continually gives us opportunities to come back to the path. Because that's the place where we can exercise our destiny and who we really are with God. Zechariah 3, verse 7, is a description of a process of deeper levels of responsibility that God will take us through once we're following him. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. This was an angel talking to Joshua, the high priest, standing in heaven in a court. If you will walk in my ways. So in other words, if we will do the things here the way he's asked us to do them, and if you will perform my service, in other words, you will do the things that I'm calling you to do, then you will govern my house. Now his house is our lives, because we're a household of God, the church, which is the household of God, but also he has a house, Mount Zion, the mountain of God, which is in the realms of heaven. And he's actually saying that we can govern the house and also have charge of my courts, because the kingdom, any kingdom, has a system of government which is enforced through legal laws and statutes and precepts in courts. Now, some of us have engaged with various courts. You know, here there are levels of courts. You have the family court, you have magistrates court, you have crown court, you have higher courts. You know, the court, appeal court, ultimately up to the House of Lords, which is like a large court. So we have access to learn how to operate those court systems in heaven. Then it says, I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. So that is saying we have free access to stand in the realms of heaven and to influence earth from that godly kingdom perspective. And that should be in everything we do, that we bring the perspective of heaven to transform everything around us to mirror what's going on in heaven. And it's an awesome responsibility. But to be honest, many people aren't understanding that because no one's ever taught them that we can do these things. But God is opening up these realms so that we can engage. So we're going to follow the map to engage this pathway and then learn the protocols of the kingdom of how to rule over a period of time. So that it becomes each of our own pathway. I'm going to share the pathway that God has shown me, and I know that I can engage on that pathway and I can open that door for others, but you have to tread your own path. And then it becomes a pathway that you can engage in yourselves. When you've practiced and tread that path down and down in your own life, then it is ingrained within you that you can access these places easily, in fact, once you learn. So we are going to learn to take responsibility as lords, to administer the king's authority, and then kings who begin to make their own laws, and then sons who are completely in and access everything of the Father. So we're going to look at, just like we did last week, basically some pictures which will show the pathway and the map. So there is, between the realms of heaven and this realm, there is a veil or a matrix that you have to pass through. Now, when we think of these things, we often tend to think of it as a sort of going upwards. Now, in physical terms, that's not true, because heaven isn't up in somewhere as a planet in the universe somewhere. Heaven is a spiritual dimension that's around us, but there are degrees where you go higher in levels of authority in the realms of heaven. So you're taking a position where you're going from here into higher realms. So that's why it helps in some sense to think come up here. It's not thinking about coming up here physically in terms of a high place. It's saying come up here into a higher realm of authority, because the spiritual realms have greater authority than the natural realms, because they hold it together and everything came out of that spiritual realm. So to start with, Revelation 4:1, come up here so we can ascend. And having a picture of a ladder or steps helps us to see, because that's the picture that was given Jacob. There was a ladder from earth to heaven and angels were going up and down. It's just an illustrative picture. There isn't a real load of steps, but we step in and step through that and it helps us to engage. So there are pictures there. Once we step in, Jesus is waiting for us. Because in Genesis 28, when Jacob saw open heaven, the Lord was standing on the threshold waiting. So he becomes our guide for this journey. We step in and he will begin to help us and guide us along these paths. Now, the process starts with us presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, because that was the process that you engaged in deeper levels of relationship with God. You surrendered, and we have to learn how to surrender. The first place we come is through the cross. Now, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he was talking about the veils that were between the different parts of the tabernacle on earth. Now, there's a true tabernacle, which earthly one was patterned after in heaven. But the whole of heaven is also patterned after that tabernacle. So there are outer courts in heaven, there are inner courts, there's a holy of holies, holy place. So there are deeper levels of engagement and loads of different places. So first place is to engage the cross, the place of surrender. And then we can follow that pathway. In that area of heaven, it represents engaging our soul and spirit, dealing with the skins that we've built up as protection mechanisms. We deal with that as we go. And in there was a laver, which was a bronze mirror that you could see yourself reflected in. And so the priests would go and look in that mirror and see, what do they look like? Well, of course, we're supposed to look in the mirror of the Word of God to see whether we are looking like what the Word says we should be. And therefore we measure ourselves about what God says about us, not what anyone else says about us. And that helps us in that process. Then there is the veil of the truth. So we go through that veil into the realm of the kingdom of heaven. And in there, we learn to expose ourselves to the light of God, and it deals with the thoughts and intentions of our heart, our motives. And at a deeper level, it deals with bone and marrow, our DNA, and the things that have shaped us so that we can be pure and present ourselves to God. Now, we'll learn how to do all these things on this journey. Now, part of learning to do that is going back over some of the other things we've learned. Because I did a 20-part series on transformation that went through that whole process. So I'm not going to go through that again, but it's available. It's available on the website for members of the church. It's available to purchase for people outside. I would encourage everyone to go through that process because it prepares you to engage the realms of heaven. And ultimately, once we've stepped through, we can engage the Holy of Holies, the Ark of God's presence, the four faces of God, the name of God around his presence. We can learn to step in to see from that perspective. That's an amazing place. And we will spend quite a lot of time practicing how to engage around the presence of God. See, the high priest once a year went into that place and God manifested his presence. And it's an awesome place of the manifest presence of God. The high priest said, I had to prepare himself. And they used to actually attach a length of string or rope to his leg just in case he didn't prepare himself very well and he got crisped up. Because then they would have had to drag him back out. Because they couldn't go in there. But now, of course, Jesus opened that veil that we can all go through him into that place of intimacy to engage with God around his presence. And it's an amazing place. So in that realm, between the way and the truth, it's the realm of called the kingdom of God. And in there, there's the court of accusation, where we deal with the enemy's accusations against us, and we can deal with things judicially, because prayer is a judicial process. Jesus said it's about coming to a judge to get a judgment that then you can use to enforce. And so where the enemy has any accusation against us, we can go stand before the presence of God, declared not guilty, come under the judgment of God, and be declared righteous. And that releases us from the effect that the enemy has over us. And we can get court orders, restraining orders, separation papers, all sorts of things to administer. And we'll learn how to do that process. Also in this realm is where our mountain of authority is. That is where we rule. And below that mountain, there are seven other mountains. There are spheres of kingdom influence that God has given us to rule in our lives. Now, some people struggle with the analogy of that, but the Bible is very clear in talking about mountains as being places of authority. And you can see lots and lots of scriptures about that. But it really represents who we are as a spiritual being. And this is our place where we get to rule. And so on that is a throne. And we get to sit on that throne, invested with authority and power, to administer from heaven to earth, and to administer that responsibility that we've been given. And we've all been given different levels of responsibility. We're only responsible for delivering ours, not someone else's. So we don't have to compare ourselves with anybody else. We just need to know, who am I? What is my identity as a son of God? And what has God called me to do in my life? And then we begin to administer it on earth, as it is in heaven. So the kingdom is administered in heaven first and then can be administered through our life on earth. But we have to do it there and we have to learn how to rule. Because God's mountain is called Mount Zion and his throne and the courts of God and the different things are on that mountain. Now it's not like Mount Everest. It's like when you stand back and look at it in the realms of heaven, it's so big. It's I don't know. Time and space are different there. But when I look at it, it's like I can't see it. There are plateaus, there are gardens. Everything we did last week is just part of the mountain of God and a plateau where the river of life is flowing. There is so much more. It's an enormous mountain. But we get our mountain here representing that mountain in heaven in God. And there are other two courts there, the court of war or strategy court, where you can get strategies for outworking what God's called you to do, and the court of angels, where you can get angels assigned to your life and to what you're called to do. Now, I learned to get mandates from around the ark, which are authorizations. Remember, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing? That's where we see what the Father's doing on a daily basis. And then we can go to our mountain and we can engage the court of angels or other courts to administer that in authority on earth. And that means we have godly influence to change things. So where there's injustice, we need to administer justice and righteousness, because that's the foundation of God's kingdom throne. There are also everlasting doors that sit in that realm. Those everlasting doors that we can open to bring the blessing of God down. Psalm 24, be lifted up, O you heads, which is authority figures, so that you have become gates to open the everlasting doors. And we'll learn how to do all those things. But then there's the kingdom of heaven. And that's another realm, another dimension that you have to go through to engage. And in that place, there are two different courts, court of chancellors and the court of scribes. And we'll learn all about how those work. Chancellors are really about authorizing things. They seal things. And we'll learn how to engage that. And the court of scribes is where everything is recorded. So everything that you do in heaven and on earth is recorded. That's a scary thought for some. But it's recorded. So actually, when you've had an encounter and sometimes you can't quite remember what went on, you can go back and actually find the record of it and have another look. It helps when we write it down, because actually what we do represents what's going on in heaven, where everything is recorded. So when we learn to journal, we learn to write down our experiences, then we can go back over them. But if you don't do it, you can still access it in heaven. Now there's another level of authority here, which is kingship, in this realm, where we learn to start administering things differently from a different realm of authority. And there's a wonderful place in this realm called Wisdom's Heights. You can read about it in Proverbs 8. Wisdom is, she's a wonderful being. It's difficult to know how to describe her, but she is a wonderful being who helps us to understand how we're to rule. Proverbs 8, 14, 16 talks about helping kings, princes, and nobles to rule and administer righteousness and justice. And it's an amazing place to go. And around that place, there are a gate to access Mount Zion into the kingdom and into heaven. There's also doors which lead to under the earth. And I've expressed that before, how you can go and claim back what's been robbed from you and what your heritage is, which is in Satan's trophy room. There is doors into the stars, because there are areas where the constellations that are there written and they describe things, and we're supposed to bring those things into order. There's a door that goes into the atmosphere of the earth, where all the principalities and powers and all that stuff operate, so we can see what the blockages are over us, over our regions, over our towns, over our lives, so that we can then administer freedom to see that open doors. And there's doors that come into the earth, and we'll learn how to access some of those things. And it's like there's a crossroads, a pathway there, where paths meet, it's described. And you can also access the timeline there, so you can go back, and you can't change the past, but you can change the effect the past has on the present. And there's some people who are going around the world right now, going back into the past, and change, seeing and observing some things that were done secretly and were hidden, and are we decreeing and changing the effect of those things in the present. Some very powerful ministers who are doing that. But we can learn how to do that ourselves. So that's a wonderful place that we'll learn how to engage in. Now, when it comes to heaven itself, when you go through the veil of the life, you can engage in heaven itself, where is the mountain of God. Now, around the mountain of God, there are various places described in Scripture that I've been to and we can go to. There are three courts there, the court of kings, where you begin to administer the laws of the kingdom and make laws, the court of the councils of the fathers, where are the 24 elders and the father on his throne, and the court of the upright, where the cloud of witnesses are, where the men in white linen, the saints who have died in faith, go to surround us. And they have access, and we have access to them, and they want to help us in fulfilling our mission. And it's a little bit like a relay race. Previous generations have run the first lap, early church, let's say, ran the first lap of a relay race. Then later on, the second lap, third lap, they want to pass it to the one who's going to get across the finishing line. And I want that to be us. I want to be part of the generation that crosses the finishing line. But we must learn to take from previous generations and from those men in white linen that are there to encourage us and surround us. And you can read about that in Hebrews. I'd encourage you to read Hebrews, because Hebrews actually patterns this whole thing of heaven. It goes from engaging the angelic, it goes to entering into rest, and it goes to talk about all the order of Melchizedek and entering into these various realms in heaven. And it's a great book to read. So around the mountain of God, you have the Holy of Holies, which we talked about earlier. You also have the temple, Isaiah 6, where the seraphim are and the coals are, which is a place of kingdom administration. You also have the throne room, Revelation 4, 5, thunders, lightning, sea of glass, you know, wonderful place, four living creatures, elders, amazing place. You also have a place where we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's another sort of throne area. And around that area, there's something called the Firestones of God. Now, that is probably the second deepest place I've been in the realms of heaven. No, third place, because I went to another place this week, which was pretty intense. But those Firestones represent the nine stones that represent to shine out the glory of God into creation. And the river of fire, which it talks about in Daniel, coming from the throne of God, flows down there. And we can learn to engage that river of fire. We don't get burnt or consumed, but things get burnt and consumed in us. And it's a great place to go. And that's where we rule. That's where we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And we have thrones there that are assigned for us. And the river of life flows out of those places and flows down through the various realms of heaven. And you can engage the river of life in various places. So all that is places we can go to. Then you have some of the things that are in the mountain of God. And in the mountain of God, there are so many things. There's the training hall where the seven spirits of God equip us to be rulers. They'll teach us. There are training floors where we learn to sow back into and give glory and honor to God from what we've received. And we'll again learn about that. There are many rooms, and there are some amazing rooms in the mountain of God. And some of you have been into these rooms, and some of them I've put down some of the titles that you've described. I've been into a number, the book room. There's a room in heaven where there are books that you can read or ingest, and it will give you revelation which you don't learn. Now, who would want to learn how to do things by eating a book rather than studying it for 10 years? And Ian Clayton, who some of you know, went and read a book about how to weld. Seems a strange thing to have in heaven, but there are books about everything in there. He took spiritually that book into his being, and he came back out of heaven and he knew how to weld. And he'd never learned. So you can learn things in that room. Amazing room. The wine room contains the record of previous saints of old that you can drink that wine and learn of their lives. Amazing place. There's the oil room, dialogue room, wardrobe room, where you get dressed with who you are, your identity and authority in the heavens. There's lots of classrooms where you get taught things. There's a quest room where you get assigned quests. The body parts room. Many people have seen this body parts room, where you can go and get body parts to administer healing in creative miracles to people on earth. And people are doing that. They're stepping into heaven, picking up an arm, and coming back and administering with people who've got no arm and seeing their arms grow. You think, woo. That's the stuff that we're supposed to be doing. There's the record room that's got everything recorded, and you can go and find your scroll and your destiny and all sorts of things. There's the infinite resources room. Joe's been into that room several times, where we can get resources for everything we're doing here when we're in line with the kingdom of heaven. So, I'm just describing a few. because there are loads and loads of rooms in God's mountain. And we get to go and visit. And then we get to go and learn how to go in those rooms and get things out of those rooms and bring those things to here, to this realm. So we're going to have great fun in learning how to do some of these things. Now, it will change things here. This is the point. This is not just a journey which is about fun, although it is fun to engage these things. I learned most of these places. I didn't have any idea where this journey map was when I started. I just got taken there. But now I've learned to go back and find out where they all are. But there's also 12 Chancellor's Houses in that place, in the realm of heaven, where about higher levels of authority, and hopefully by the time that we get to go there, I'll have been to all those and have learned how to engage them. I've seen them all, know their angels and the chancellors and know the names, but there's a whole new process there. So then above that, everything that comes down from heaven is about God's government. And God's government comes down in levels of authority so that it gets administered on the earth. But going up from there, there are other levels. And they are a different atmosphere. When I went into the heaven of heavens the very first time, I found my spirit couldn't breathe. Now, I know it sounds difficult, but I went in there and it was just like, whoa, I knew it was a different atmosphere. Because everything from heaven upwards is about love. And it's about a different dimension of the heart of God. And it's a wonderful place. So in the heaven of heavens, there are three court systems. The court of judges, the court of the Lord, and the court of 70, or the Galactic Council. I've only been into the Galactic Council. I've not been into the other two courts as yet. I don't know whether I will or not, but they're there. But the Galactic Council, they administer the affairs in the universe. Now, on above that, there's another level called perfection. Now, a couple of years ago, I spent four months, in darkness, not being able to see anything. So I learned to trust God. And that was the hardest period I think I've ever been through. Really, really difficult period. But as a result of it, I was able to go into the dark cloud, which it describes in the Bible, of God hiding himself so that we don't get crisped up. Because when God's person, I'm not just talking about his presence, we're talking about his person. And, you know, I've been in there a few times. I just couldn't stay in there for much more than a fraction of a second. When you look into the face of God, I couldn't look into his eyes. If I looked into his eyes, I don't think I'd have ever come back. But I looked into his face and saw one facet of the sort of diamonds that were shining and over his face. And it was just so much, I just couldn't cope. I just came back out. But we may go there. I don't know whether I can take people there, but I think we can. And eternity was where I went this week for the first time. And in eternity, I found the heart of God. Going into the heart of God where we were conceived. Where I was conceived as a thought in the heart of God. And I took some people there, and they were just flabbergasted and dumbfounded about what they were experiencing, about the thoughts and the heart and the emotions of God that were going around in that place. It's amazing. You know, and that was, you know, the second most intimate place I'd ever been. Because it felt like home. It felt like I was going back into the womb, if you like. And connected up to who God is at his heart. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful place. So that's basically the map of where we're going. Now, you know, it's going to take a while to get to those places. Some of you are already engaging in some of those places, which is great. Continue to press in. The reason we want to do this systematically is we can raise up a Joshua generation of mentors who can mentor the next generation. You know, there is a billionfold harvest that's coming, who are going to be need to be equipped in the supernatural ways of the kingdom. God is looking to raise up a generation who will be like Caleb and Joshua, who would take people in to take their full possession of their inheritance. And this is our inheritance, to be able to access heaven and earth and to administer and rule from heaven, to administer and rule on earth. Now we look around and think, you're having a laugh. It's like, look at the world. Look at the mess it's in. The reason it's in the mess is because we're not ruling. Because we're not governing. We're not bringing healing and wholeness to the fullness. We're not administering the kingdom to bring righteousness and justice. So the enemy can do much as he pleases in lots of areas because we are not exercising our responsibility to take authority and to change things and to rule and to establish heaven on earth. That's why God wants to raise us up. This is why we're going to establish this as a manual so that people can take this, learn how to do it practically, not theoretically, but practically, so that we can train another generation to take the responsibility that God has for them and to administer it. So let's learn to step in ourselves. We're going to practice this just for a few minutes, stepping into the presence of God. Revelation 4:1, come up here. When you come up here, and I'm just going to show you these pictures because pictures can stimulate our imagination to engage. There is a door and Jesus is going to meet you at the doorway. Sometimes it feels like you're going through portals or matrices or veils. It just feels like they all seem blue to me. I don't know what color they seem to you, but blue seem to engage. And so I go through things that I feel these things like this. Okay. So when we step in, your spirit becomes free from all these earthly constraints if you let go. So you need to let go of things because the heaven itself and the realms of heaven are not constrained by the physical laws in this realm. They operate on a different dimension. They're multiversed. In other words, we can all be in the same place and time because heaven is multiversed. It's not like time and space. Here, I'm sat in this chair. If someone else wanted to sit in this chair, they'd either have to sit on my lap or I'd have to move. But there, we can all be before the throne of grace. We can all be intimate with God. We can all be in the places I've described at the same time. Sometimes you can see each other. You know, it's cool when you see people that you know. But sometimes you're just engaged in intimacy because of the uniqueness of who you've been created. God has a whole universe, a whole multiversed heaven that you can engage with so that you can understand and step in. He's designed it that way specifically for each of us, which is amazing how much love he has. But you have to let go of your mind and your heart to rise above this earthly realm. You can't try and figure it out. You have to allow your spirit to lead you into these things. And when you go in, the atmosphere you're breathing is different from the atmosphere here. You're not breathing oxygen anymore. Your spirit is breathing the atmosphere of heaven, which is love and joy and peace and the glory of God. So when we step in, I just want you to let your senses engage. Allow your senses to begin to engage where your spirit is. Now that may come as feelings, it may come as impressions, it may come as visions, it may come as thoughts in your mind, it may just come as a description, but just allow those things to flow. Now I know we're doing these things a little bit out of turn because we're just practicing. These are just forerunner things to give you a taster. We will learn how to do this systematically from base camp when we get there next time. Now, when we're going into heaven, I want you to engage the cross. And so I believe the Father will want to help you engage the cross because not only did Jesus die on that cross for you, but you died with him. Oops, let me go back a bit. Right there. So, 1 Corinthians 5:21, he, that's God, our Father, made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's an amazing transaction that can take place at the cross. And so I believe he wants to show us the love that he has for us and his willingness to sacrifice his own son for us so that we could have a relationship with him. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, so it's funny, isn't it? I don't live, but now I do. Now I live with him. It's him and me living together. So I'm not living it by my old nature, my old way of life. I'm living it by my new nature, which is what I've been given in relationship. And I do that by faith of the Son of God. It's God's faith that enables me to do it. Because he loved me and he gave himself up for me. That is an amazing thing to think about. That Jesus willingly surrendered to the cross and all that the cross meant, because he loves us and he wants us to come into our inheritance and inherit all the things I've been talking about today and so much more. That is amazing. So I'd encourage you just to engage in the Father's love as we step in today. So close your eyes. If you like to picture the steps walking up into the realm of heaven, you can just begin to picture that. Hear the invitation from the Father to come up here. Just step in, let your spirit step into the realm of heaven. Jesus is there to meet you. Just want you to breathe deeply. Just breathe. Let your spirit breathe. You can physically breathe in as a sign of engagement. You're engaging with the realm of heaven. And as you breathe in, let the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God just flow into your spirit. Just feel that you're loved. Allow your senses to engage as you enter into a deeper level of his presence. Just let heaven's joy fill you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And as you breathe in, just sense your spirit growing, getting stronger. Supernatural abilities of your spirit being empowered and released. And as we practice just stepping in, we're looking to acclimatize to the atmosphere of heaven. Our senses are acclimatized to the atmosphere of earth. We need to be acclimatized. And we do that by stepping in and just practicing being in that realm. And just being in that realm benefits us, because the atmosphere of glory surrounds us and we breathe it in. So just begin to breathe that in and sense it, feel it. The Father's presence is there. He just wants you to engage the cross. Just look at Jesus on the cross. Looking to his eyes of love. Just sense his love for you. Sense the Father's love that he was willing to go to such lengths. Because he loves us so deeply. He's invested into our lives so heavily. And he wants us to embrace who we are as his children. If you've never embraced the cross in your life, if you've never taken up that cross and followed him, here's an opportunity. Just to surrender your life, to follow him, invite him to come and fill you with his presence, to open up these realms to you. Maybe you've encountered Jesus time and time again. Just allow this to be an intimate place. Some of you might want to step onto that cross and begin to see from the perspective, because we are in him and we died with him. We were crucified with him. you can exchange your old life for a new life at the cross. You have to go through it. You can't go round it. Just in that place, exchange the old for the new. Exchange death for life. Exchange sickness and sin, which may be occupying areas of your body, forgiveness and health. Allow the forgiveness of God to wash over you and wash you clean. That old nature, dead. That new nature, in the image of Jesus, alive. Feel that new nature rising up. You may have felt guilty, you may have felt condemned because of your past, and the enemy may try and get you looking back. Now just feel innocent, acquitted, righteous. I know some of you carry shame for the things that you've done. Allow the Father to wash away that shame, to give you revelation of sonship. Allow sonship to form in you who you really are. His great love surrounding you. No longer under judgment, justified, not guilty, righteous. No longer a slave to sin or addiction or negative behaviors or fear, but a servant of righteousness. See this cross as a place of exchange where you're going to walk through to open up the realms of heaven, to open up this pathway of responsibility. Just if you're willing to take this pathway, just surrender yourself afresh as a living sacrifice. To Jesus, your high priest, who's gone before you to open up the way. As you surrender, just ask Jesus to be your guide on this journey, this pathway to the full responsibility of sonship and co-heirs in the kingdom. Now, just as we stepped in, we can just step out. We can come back through those veils and step back into this realm. But we bring with us that which we experience there. Our experience become a doorway to greater experience. Our testimony becomes an anchor that enables us to revisit. I'd encourage you over the next few days, if you've experienced anything of that realm, just begin to meditate and to think, to step back in, just to begin to experience the atmosphere of heaven, to acclimatize yourself to the pathway.